To many Christians, the sacrament of communion is often misunderstood. There are hidden truths in Scripture which tell of the power of participating in the Lord's Supper, which are the keys to either health and long life, or to sickness, disease, and even death.
When Jesus went into that upper room the day before crucifixion, he was entering in to what you call the meal that heals.
Yeah.
He said, examine yourself. You know,
that's right.
If we see a spot on our bodies because of the way we've been trained, we automatically know, oh my, I didn't see this there last year. We're supposed to prepare ourselves for communion that way.
Right.
We are to look and examine ourselves because it's a dangerous thing.
I was having severe throat problems, and I started taking communion. I took it 10 days straight. And on the 10th day, God healed my throat. I have not had a problem with it since then.
Join us today as Pastor Franklin studies the power of communion with today's special guest, Evangelist Perry Stone.
The gospel of Jesus Christ can be summed up in one phrase: find the hurt and heal it.
Hello and welcome to Kingdom Connection. I'm Jensen Franklin. I'm so glad you've joined us for a very, very special program today. You don't want to miss what we're about to share with you. I have a special guest that's going to be on the program with me, one of the greatest evangelists in the nation today. His name is Perry Stone. And Perry has just recently written a book that I believe is such an important book, an important word, that I want to take this time for him to explain and preach to you a little bit from a setting here in the studio about the meal that heals. Many of you need healing in your body. Many of you need to see the Lord touch you physically. And the Bible talks about communion. One of the things that happened when they came out of Egypt, they ate the communion meal, the first communion meal, and they came out and there was not a sick or feeble one among them. Today, Perry is going to give you three dynamic points about communion that you will never forget. I'm telling you, I've heard a lot of messages and a lot of preaching through the years. I've been in the ministry 20 years, and I've never heard any greater material about communion than what you're about to hear. This is going to change your life. This is not just a message. It is a word from the Lord for the body of Christ. I want you to sit back and listen. I believe God's healing power is going to touch you while you watch this program. Perry, it's so good to have you on the program. Bless you.
You're a great friend, and it's a real delight to be on your program.
We've known each other for many years now.
Yes.
You've been preaching 25 years.
Yes.
And I've been preaching 20.
Yes.
And, you know, I've always been amazed at the revelation that God gives you. But really, when I got your book, The Meal That Heals, and we began to talk some on the phone about what that message was about, it just lit up in my soul. I think people need to understand the power of communion.
Well, here's the thing. There are a lot of sick Christians and a lot of Christians that pray for healing. They go through prayer lines. They're anointed with oil. They go to crusades or meetings, and yet they still come away sick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, understand this, that God established in Exodus 12 when they did the first meal, which was the lamb. They ate the lamb. And of course, the blood was upon the doorpost, which would represent salvation and healing. And he brought them forth, as you said, without a feeble person among them. This was the first mass healing which was ever done in the entirety of God's word. Now, when the people got into the wilderness, they began to eat manna. When they began to loathe the manna or complain about the manna, they wanted flesh to eat. And of course, that's when they became sick and the Bible said they died. Manna was bread from heaven. They ate the manna every day. And right before the Sabbath, which would have been on Friday, they collected double, mm-hmm. so they wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath day. So technically speaking, though, they still ate manna every day. Now, Jesus said, I am the bread come down from heaven. In John chapter 6, he mentions over and over again about the bread, and the bread. And we do know that when we partake in the New Testament of what is called the Lord's Supper or the communion, which is the fruit of the vine, the juice, and the bread, it represents, according to Jesus, His body and His blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's why I believe communion is so powerful. Because there are various types of healing methods established by God in the Bible. You have used these in your ministry. The laying on of hands is a method of healing. The spoken word, speak the word only, my servant would be healed. Speaking the word is a method of healing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of healing and working of miracles is a method of healing. And there's several methods of healing established in the Bible. Now, here's the situation that we encounter. Have you ever, and I'm sure you have, you've not felt well, maybe you've had people pray for you, but your faith level wasn't up. You just didn't feel like you had the faith to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go to be prayed for and you expect the anointing to be present and you expect to feel, like the woman in Mark 5 felt in her body the healing power, but you don't feel the healing power manifesting. This is the problem that we keep encountering in the body of Christ, is that people will go to a meeting, maybe a wonderful healing meeting, maybe like a Benny Hinn meeting, for example, and they go with an expectancy, but maybe they didn't feel anything. Maybe they didn't get to pray for the way they wanted to be prayed for. All right, well, they leave, and maybe they leave with this affliction and sickness. Here's the amazing thing. Every method of healing you find in the Bible, practically, depends on another person. Like, you have to call the elders. So the elders have to come, James 5, and pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone has to be operating in a gift of the Spirit for that gift to operate.
Mm-hmm.
It's dependent on someone agreeing with you. Communion is total covenant. Therefore, it's you and God.
Wow.
And see, any time that you put God in remembrance of His covenant, and any time you show God His covenant, you know, you've taught on this, God is always moved toward the covenant. See, sometimes we pray and we fall into unbelief, and the Bible teaches us in James, if we're double-minded, we can't receive anything from God. When a person, though, receives communion, and we teach it as Dr. John Miller does, that we should receive it every day, especially if you're sick or you need a healing, that when you do that, you are consistently, steadfastly reminding the Lord that He has a covenant with you of healing. Because in the old covenant, His name was Jehovah Rapha, which is the Lord that healeth thee.
Right.
It was a covenant. Covenant is an agreement that God says. God says, if you obey me, follow me, I'll put none of the diseases of Egypt upon you. We come into the New Testament, and you have some people that try to say healing passed away in the first century or second century, and it's not valid today. We have doctors. Well, look at what doctors cannot heal. Leukemia, cancer, AIDS. So many things that, thank God for medicine, but a lot of things medicine can't heal.
Mm-hmm.
It can treat it, but not heal it. So therefore, if we have a better covenant established on better promises,
yes,
we have to understand that if healing was part of the old covenant, then Christ instituted a new covenant that with His stripes were healed. Then we need to understand that healing is part of the covenant. So the greatest way, now this is just my observation, the greatest way of consistently being healed or walking in health is to understand, or what Paul talked about, discern the Lord's body.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to discern what Jesus did for you through His sufferings, which would include, and this is something in Isaiah chapter 53, you know, you and I are familiar with that verse. There's a threefold atonement. We've heard it preached for years, salvation and healing, but there's actually physical, emotional, and
yes,
spiritual healing in Isaiah. So
right.
Jesus, in other words, carried it all. Just like in the Old Testament time, the scapegoat, on the Day of Atonement, the priest would lay his hands on the goat, and all the sins of Israel would be transferred to that goat, and then it would be sent to the wilderness. Likewise, Jesus Christ bore our sicknesses. He bore our grief and carried our sorrows. But if you look at that in the Hebrew text, it is the Hebrew word for sickness. He carried our sickness. Now, some people say it's sin sickness. No, it's more than that.
Right.
He literally carried the sin and the sickness in His body. So the whipping post where He was beaten, and according to scholars, 39 times, because they would have done it 40 times minus one, 39 times, all diseases, I'm told by doctors, fall into 39 major categories. In other words, there's hundreds of diseases, but 39 major categories. So Jesus took one stripe for every major disease.
Amen.
It's amazing. So if we can discern that by the Holy Spirit, it's done through faith, then we understand there's a healing covenant that's established.
And people have not associated correctly the communion meal with healing. You know,
right,
here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you talked about Paul warning us that we have to discern the body,
yes,
of Christ, and he connects it to healing when he says, but let a man examine himself,
mm-hmm,
if he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many die.
See, Judas actually did not discern properly what was happening.
Oh,
there's
good.
Your example that Paul can use there. Judas sat down, he took the cup. Remember the Bible says he handed him the cup. He drank from the cup, and Jesus was there saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant." Well, then Judas goes out and totally sins against God, disobeys, sells Jesus, and ends up committing suicide within 24 hours of the time he did that. So that's an example of not discerning properly the body of the Lord.
That's good.
And so when we look at this verse that what Paul's talking about here, discerning the body can be two things. The church is the body.
Mm-hmm.
We have to love one another as He loved us. If we say that we love God but hate our brother, our religion's in vain. If we speak with tongues of men and angels and don't have love, we're noise, according to the Apostle Paul. So I have to discern that Jensen Franklin and his church is part of the body. You have churches fighting. Well, you know, we're the way. Well, we're the only ones. Well, they're not part of, and that's totally not of God. That's of the flesh. So we have to discern that we are all the body. Everyone who names the name of Christ, who is born again, who believes in His Word, who practices, is part of the body. Whether they're Baptist, whether they're Methodist, whether they're Pentecostal, Charismatic. So we have to discern properly our love for one another. And then we discern the body of Christ, what He bore in His body. He that knew no sin became sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what happened was this. In Isaiah chapter 53, it talks about how He was oppressed, He was afflicted, He was despised. These are all emotional things that people go through. He was carried our grief, so He carried our emotional difficulties.
Depression, fear,
all
anxiety.
Oppression. He was oppressed, the Bible said. So they did that to Him. He carried it so we could be free from it.
Yes.
Then it talks about that He was made a sin offering for us in Isaiah 53. Okay, so we know He carried sin so we could be free from it. So, but why do we eliminate Isaiah 53 that says, "With His stripes we're healed"? Because He took the sickness and the beating. In fact, let me lay something real heavy on people here. You're like this. At the School of Theology here in Cleveland, they were asking the question one time. They said, Jesus healed people for 42 months before He paid the price. Now think about it. So He's healing on credit, so to speak. He's healing all these people, knowing He'll pay the price, but the price wasn't paid until He took the beating in Isaiah chapter 53 at the whipping post. What would have happened if Jesus Christ had never paid the price? What if He'd healed these people but had never paid the price for the healing? Well, at the School of Theology, they debated this and determined that more than likely everything would have reversed itself. In other words, that people would have gone back into sickness, back into their difficulties, had He not paid the price. And so when I heard that, I realized something profound, that Jesus Christ healed on credit, knowing He'd pay the price. But now the price is paid. So now we don't have to look to Him to pay what we need. He already bore it or already carried it. So if we can get a mental revelation, spiritual revelation, that Jesus Christ, just like the scapegoat, the priest put the sin on Him, God put the sin and the sickness on Christ, the emotional threefold atonement, you're a body, soul, and spirit, right? The body is physical healing. The soul is emotional healing. The spirit, spiritual healing, free from sin.
Yes.
That means that we can be free if we have the revelation and get the revelation of these things. And so, again, the greatest way, in my opinion, of a person, I was having severe throat problems, and I started taking communion. I took it 10 days straight, and on the 10th day, God healed my throat. I have not had a problem with it since then.
Well, it's like you said.
It's gone on for a couple months, actually, before that, too.
It reminds us, and it says back to God His Word about the covenant that we're in. Because when Jesus went into that upper room the day before crucifixion, He was entering in to what you call the meal that heals.
Yes, that's
right. You have three major chapters in that book: the meal that heals, the meal that kills.
Speaking of Judas.
And the meal that fills.
The meal that fills, that's right.
All right, kind of walk us through those. I know you've already started that, but kind of walk us through those thoughts.
The meal that heals alludes to, we take you back to the book of Exodus chapter 12 and carry you all the way through to the New Covenant, how that Israel put the blood on the doorpost, but they ate all of the lamb. Now, Dr. John Miller, the friend of mine who inspired me with this, talks about cell therapy. And I'm going to give you something that's real interesting here. They can take a lamb before its immune system is developed as a fetus, and they can take that fetus and cut off any part of that organ, like the heart, the liver, whatever, put it in a saline solution. Now, they do this in Europe, and inject it in a person who's suffering heart trouble, liver trouble, stomach trouble, whatever, and the cells of that little lamb, this is in the natural, will heal and replace the damaged cells in the human body. Now, the application of that is this. They ate all of the lamb, meaning that if they ate the heart and had heart trouble, that lamb which represented Christ healed their heart.
You are what you eat.
You are what you eat. Yes, sir. If they ate the liver of the lamb, which they ate at all, then anyone that would have had a liver disease, that because it represented Christ, that they would have gone to that part of the body and brought healing. So when Jesus took the cup and he said, drink this, this represents my blood of the new covenant. And he took the bread and said, this represents my body. Eat you all of it, and often you do in remembrance of me. When they partook of that and it entered their system, and this is the thing people have to understand, God watches over his covenant. So when you partake of that, he watches over what you're doing. And if you will do it in faith, judge yourself, get all the bitterness, the unforgiveness, and all that out of your spirit. And that's why it's important people have to understand it.
He said, examine yourself. You know,
that's right.
If we see a spot on our bodies because of the way we've been trained, we automatically know, oh my, I didn't see this there last year. We're supposed to prepare ourselves for communion that way.
Right.
We are to look. Yeah. And examine ourselves, because it's a dangerous thing.
Well, here's the thing. If
you're not worried.
That's right. When your dad and my dad pastored, they would always share with people the importance of getting any sin out of your life by confessing it and making sure that you're right with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, see, if the church really practiced this the way Paul said, we keep strife out of the church totally by receiving communion.
That's
because
good.
We would say, look, I don't want to take something and not discern the Lord's body, and then drink, the Bible says, condemnation upon myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when Dad pastored, your father probably had the same thing happen, where there'd be people that would lay out of church when you'd have the Lord's Supper. And they'd say things like this, well, I just don't want to partake it unworthily. And I'm thinking, well, you're not even living right then. I mean, if you'll stay away from it because you're fearful that you're not right, that tells you something. Mm-hmm. You've judged yourself guilty, and you've judged yourself that you're not right. So the purpose of it is to examine yourself, to show forth his death till he comes. But through his death, through his sufferings, is how we enter the covenant and how part of this healing process takes place. And of course, when we talked about the meal that kills, we used Judas as the example about totally taking it unworthy, sitting at the Lord's table. And the meal that fills, of course, is in him. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, everything we need in life, period, is in the atonement. And so when we take of the bread, the fruit of the vine, we partake it into us, we are receiving of his life. He said, if you don't do it, you have no life in you. But if you do it, you have life.
Yeah.
So when you partake communion, and let me just say real quickly here, we've got the time to get into this, that a lot of people will argue and they'll say, well, I thought only an ordained minister could do this. I thought only you could only do this in your church. But in the Bible, in the book of Acts, it says that they went from house to house breaking bread, and they were daily in the temple, right? And Dr. Miller brought me, he went down here to Lee University, which you attended, Lee, I believe, and pulled in their library the commentaries on that passage in the book of Acts. And every commentary said that the breaking of bread daily was not, as we heard it growing up, going to somebody's house and having dinner. You know, we used to say, let's go fellowship and break some bread, and we'd go to Shoney's or Quincy's when we were preaching in Alabama, and we would eat dinner. Those were the only two places you could eat, if you remember. Listen, when Jensen and I started evangelizing, it was Pizza Hut, McDonald's, and Shoney's. That's about it. So we're thankful for the new restaurants that have come along. But breaking bread to us then meant just having dinner. But in the Bible, where Jesus broke the bread, he broke it at the Lord's Supper. He took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it.
Right.
And then after he was raised, he did the same thing, right? On the road to Emmaus, the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Those two examples were the Lord's Supper, or what we say was communion. So in the New Testament book of Acts, now think about this. Claude Bowers in Florida brought this out when we were discussing it. He said, you know, when you look at the very early chapters of the early church, there's no sickness in the early church.
Mm.
There's no sin. There's people being healed, like the lame man at the gate, and people in the cities being healed.
They were taking communion.
That's right. They were taking communion every day. But then when you get to the church at Corinth, he opens up by saying there's contention and there's strife among you. And for this cause, many are weak and sick because you haven't discerned the body of Christ. Now, when strife got into the church and bitterness and contention got in people's hearts and they became carnal, that's when the infirmities of sicknesses begin to come upon people. And doctors will tell you, I've had medical doctors tell me that a large number of people who are in hospitals that have problems, not psychosomatic, but legitimate problems, it's stress, strife, and unforgiveness. So when you judge yourself and get it out of you, you are naturally helping your body. I think they told me that one of the men in Mexico that deals with cancer says that when you become angry, like real vehemently angry, your immune system shuts down for 6 hours.
Mm.
So anger, bitterness, strife is what's killing people.
Wow.
And so the communion service, you go before God and you say, Lord, I just, I confess, you know, and I repent before you, and I repent before my brothers and sisters for my attitude and things I've said.
When
you make it right, it's good for you. It's just good in general to.
And when you do it in your home, Perry, just like they did it in their homes, the first communion, as you've mentioned, was Passover.
House.
It was Passover going back
That's
to
right.
Exodus, was the first real Old Testament
That's right.
communion type of the New Testament meal. But it when we do it today in our homes with our families, it's applying the blood to our house, and the destroyer has to pass over.
Yeah, you think about that.
And
That's
the
right.
bread represents his body there.
Yeah.
Jesus said, as oft as you do this, you do it in remembrance. The opposite of that word remembrance is to dismember.
Uh-huh.
So when you do this, you remember him.
Yeah.
You know, to dismember means to tear apart, like
yeah.
you said. And so when a church does this, we remember. We put the body parts
together.
Back together.
Yeah. And see, when we take it with communion, you have a piece of the bread. I have a piece of the bread in me. She's got a piece of the bread in her. That's where we become the body.
Yeah. That's
because
good.
When we put all that bread together, we put the body together, you see. And that's exactly what you're saying there.
So, you know, this meal is extremely important. I think that in some of the churches, they have communion every week, but in
right.
many churches, you know, it's just something that we do occasionally,
yeah.
but we need to get a fresh revelation.
And we need a fresh revelation, I think, because of Paul's revelation of discerning his body. Because,
yes.
because you know, it's sad that people get so religious, they get theological, and they get pinned into some theology because their denomination teaches it that way, or that's the way they're supposed to believe it. And God wants to restore the healing covenant revelation. Now, the covenant's always been there.
Right.
But the revelation of how people have it in their mind and spirit has to be restored. You know, the Bible says that the heavens would receive Christ until the restitution of all things. And one of those, the word restitution there, according to W.E. Vines, can mean putting something back in order that was out of order.
Mm.
And so I believe that, you know, when I grew up in church, we'd have the Lord's Supper maybe once every 3 months, once every 6 months, once a year. And I told my dad one day, he's retired from pastoring now, I said, you know, it's no wonder we were all sick. Because there was some contention among the people. They weren't confessing it. We weren't doing anything to get it out. People just went on. And Paul said, many are weak, sickly, and many sleep.
Well, the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And if you're having communion often in your home,
yes,
it's kind of hard to do that.
And you know, we've had people... this gentleman may be watching, but there's a gentleman in Florida I met at the airport, and we made a little communion kit, and he had it with him. And he says, I have had migraine headaches all my life. And he said, when I got the revelation of communion and started taking it every day, he says, I am totally free from the migraine. Now, Jensen, I cannot tell you how many people have been healed of tumors, growths, severe migraine headaches, whatever the case is, by simply every day staying steadfast, because it's covenant. That's what I want to get across.
There's no way you can read the scriptures and read about the communion meal and not associate it with divine healing. There's no way.
Right.
It's connected all the
right.
way through. And, you know, since I read your book and since we've kind of got into this, I've started, when I go to the hospitals, pastoring a church, I usually go just to see people who are in pretty bad shape, you know.
Yes.
And when I go, I'll usually take communion now. I've just started taking my communion
Man.
Kit with me, and I go,
Praise
and
God.
I'm telling you, it blesses them more. You know, we don't need to go in there and hold their hand and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah.
We need to apply the covenant.
Yeah.
Apply
well,
the covenant.
I feel that when you said that. That's
and,
powerful.
And it's,
yes.
it ministers to people.
Mm.
It does something for their faith.
Yeah, yeah.
To take of you that
see,
meal
oh,
and
oh,
remember
oh.
the cross
you
and
just
remember
said
the
something.
Price.
I've got to say this. When I have dealt with people who, and you have too, that were being prayed for that were sick, there is a faith level that we get to in the anointing where things happen. We know that. The daily communion to me, this is one of the greatest parts about it, is it takes all of the pressure that the natural man goes under of trying to believe God's going to do something. Because you receive it and you just lay back and rest in Him. Now that's the real thing here. Is that you can receive the communion at home every day.
Right.
And you just rest in God.
That's good.
And you go to work.
Enter into
that
rest.
And you go on and you say, glory to God, Lord, it's working
I've
in
applied.
Me. There's life in
That's
me.
Power.
Jesus said, if you take it, there's life. So you can
it's
say,
powerful.
Lord, there's life working in me.
Well,
there's
Perry, see, that's why I asked Praise you God. To be on this program today, because I really believe that this is the way that it can be a constant confession, a constant saying back to God what He said to us is through communion.
Yes.
And since you have put out these incredible kits of communion, and I want you to just talk about this for a moment.
Well, let me take
but
back.
this is the kit that I take into the hospitals with me and into the places, and I'm telling you, it's powerful.
Well, real quick, this is just a leather pouch kit. When you open it up, there's three parts to it. This will hold the bread, and I tell people, try to get matzo bread at the store if they can. This little side over here has two, and all this is stainless steel, by the way, two stainless steel cups. Husband and wife are like in the hospital or nursing home. You have two cups. And there's a third part of it right in the middle that has the container for the juice. And it even has a little funnel here. I like this, where you can refill the juice. And, you know, you can refill it as often as you need to. And you can just take that. If you're at home,
it's
you
beautiful.
Can leave it at home.
It's so nice, too.
That's the Messianic seal of the early church, by the way.
You know, and it just makes it so convenient. I actually... My secretary called your ministry and ordered this kit for me because I started doing that after I read your book. But I would go with a little Ziploc bag or something, you know, and a little. But this
we
is
did that because
I can carry this in a briefcase.
Yes,
I carry usually with me in my briefcase one of these when I'm traveling.
Isn't that great?
And I'm telling you, this is one of the greatest. I think it's one of those God ideas that if people will get it in their home, you know, sometimes you have to get something like this in your home before you will. Before you will actually begin to do it. But when you have this kit, it brings a sacredness to it. It does to me. It brings a seriousness, which it should be.
And it's quality, so it'll last. You know, it's not just... And then we wrote the book, The Meal That Heals, of course, and I think you're going to make that available.
And those three chapters are there. So I just want to say that we want you to get this. This is what we're offering you. I think it is one of the greatest gifts that you can get. Maybe you ought to get it for your family at Christmas time or whenever you would like to get this. Maybe you're sick in your body and you need a healing in your body. You know, when you get information on something, it builds your faith in that specific area. And when you get this book, I'm telling you, this book put faith in me to believe for healing that comes through the meal that heals, which is communion. Perry Stone's latest book, The Meal That Heals, along with this incredible communion kit that will have the bread and the beautiful cups. Those cups are amazing. And I'm telling you that this is something I believe God's going to use in a mighty way. I want you to order this today. I believe that this word today is a word from the Lord. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we just agree that your healing power is flowing into that room. Sickness and disease, go in the mighty name of Jesus.
Kingdom Connection is a ministry of Free Chapel Worship Center, growing locally, reaching globally. Together, we will reach the world for Jesus.